Wednesday night's devotional in regards to this month, focusing on developing some things with regards to our family and our home. As we are wrapping up some things with relationship to our study of the home, it's good that we have further encouragement and edification regarding that subject as well. And so I'm going to ask that you open up your Bibles, if you will, to Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As last week we studied about developing our sons for manhood, today we're going to be focusing our attention upon developing our daughters at home. And of course, Titus chapter 2 really pinpoints our discussion, beginning in verse number 4, talking about the aged women and their responsibility to the younger women to teach them, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now again, I want to remind you, and if you were not here last week, at least open up your attention to the fact that the key word, as far as I'm concerned, is the word development. And you cannot get a full development of any subject by a sermon. It is an essential part, but it is not the full part, and especially one that is designed to be a Wednesday night devotional. Just time frame does not allow that. But preaching is an essential part of that. But as I mentioned last week, developing something means to take something from one stage and to bring it to another stage. There's one state of a tadpole, and there's another state of a frog, and there's a development that goes in that process. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, one of those verses that we ask you to look at in regards to that. Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse number 28, 29, also talks about our conforming. The very gospel itself was given so that we might be conformed to the image of God's Son. There's a development that takes place in that process. Yet the challenge for parents, and I would address this to mothers, not that the father is absent with regards to daughters, and not that the mother is absent to the son, but that this passage is addressed from woman to woman. But girls are oftentimes told there are some challenges if you're going to raise up your daughter from a domestic point of view, and that is, she is consistently told in our society that she needs to be just like the boys in our culture. In fact, this did not begin with this generation. I can remember that when ladies began to smoke in public without any kind of recourse or shame, the phrase was, "You've come a long way, baby." That's a long way down, but they came a long way. And I think a part of that had to do with the suffrage movement and the idea of the voting and things such as that. But one may be acceptable, the other one certainly is not. But the idea is, you come a long way. Why? Because you can do what a man does. And I'm not sure that that ought to be the standard for women in regards, and I know it's not in regards to what the Bible has to say. Basically, our young ladies are taught that they have a right to do anything that their male counterparts have a right to do. The only problem is we fail to consult the only individual who can give those rights to us, and that is God through His Word. And so we have a workforce that is full, and we have homes that are empty. We have families that are being destroyed, and we constantly ask the question as to why, and we fail to see what is at the heart of the problem. Therefore, to develop our daughters domestically is not an easy subject for the church to address. It's not easy from several different vantage points. We are anti-societal when we do that. But we should be fairly accustomed to that from the inception of Christianity. But also the fact that You have, like we talked about last week with young boys, boyhood to manhood is a treacherous journey. The quest that our young ladies are on is a treacherous quest as well. And in fact, there are a lot of items that are out there that are working to destroy their womanhood. And so we'll talk about a couple of I want to be as practical as I can be tonight. And I'm sure that I'll have a lot of scours even in relationship to the church on this one. But if we're going to develop our daughters domestically at home, then we need to teach them to cook. Alright? Now, I know that a lot of women don't like this, but godly women are to know how to cook and they are to know how to manage a household. I didn't say that they had to be the best cook in town. But they do have to know how to feed their families. And we're living in a time where some women burn Kool-Aid and can't boil an egg. And it's a shame that we have young ladies that are growing up in such a posture as this. But listen to what the virtuous woman is said to have done in Proverbs 31, verses 14 and 15. She is like a merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Here's a woman who knows how to shop for the home. Okay? She is a woman who knows how to go to the grocery store on a budget and to take care of items. She riseth up also while it is night. That means she gets up early in the morning. She giveth meat to her household. She is up and dutiful in the home before anybody else. And she has enough left over in her household to give to her maidens in verse number 15. I wonder if this is what David, and last week and this week do go together, don't mistake that, but I wonder if this is what David had in mind. The work ethic of a young man growing into manhood and the work ethic of a young woman being domestically trained. And David would say in Psalm 37 in verse number 25, he says, I have been young and now I am old. But I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because God taught them how to work. God taught them how to take care of the responsibilities of their home. And we need more women, more mothers who can teach their daughters how to cook. Developing domestically is what we're talking about. Number two, and I'll get even worse with this one, but we need to teach. If we're going to develop our daughters domestically, we need to teach them how to clean. That they are responsible for the home. That's what the Bible says. You can get around a lot of passages, but you cannot get around Titus 2, verse 4 and 5. They are keepers of the home. Now, there's a lot more than just cleaning that goes into that, you understand. But that is at the heart of what is being spoken of here. In fact, I don't think my brethren oftentimes really think things through all the way through Scripture. You know, you go into the books of law and you start looking at Leviticus and Deuteronomy and you're going to find laws of cleanliness. I'm not talking about moral cleanliness here. I'm talking about physical cleanliness and how they were to take care of themselves. There are laws of sanitation that were absolutely essential for any society to be able to function together. We should have learned something from the bubonic plague, which wiped out, what was it, Brian, you're a history buff, or Don, about one-third of the population on the earth at that particular time. We should have learned something about piling up our trash so that rats could crawl around all over the place. You see, God had already told the Israelites how not to have the bubonic plague. And he set things in order for the home to exist in cleanliness. Now, these laws are not designed so that you can show people, your neighbor, how neat your home is. Bring people in and say, you know, I use Mr. Clean on my stove or whatever. It's about a health issue. And by the way, in this season, think about this. What do we do when the flu bug goes everywhere? man, we're washing our hands and we're demanding our kids and we're spraying down everything. Mona's got everything in the world sprayed down here in the church building. Even the communion plates were sprayed down. Think about it. You go to the grocery store? I don't know if you saw this. I saw it. It made me not even want to go to the grocery store. I mean, the fruit that everybody's touching and that carrot and that bag, somebody else, and they sneezed in their hand, wiped it off, and then they picked up that tomato, and then you're going to buy it, and you're not going to clean off that. The Bible talks about sanitary items and cleanliness, and we need to learn from what the book says. We need to teach our daughters how to clean at home. By the way, teaching them to clean at home is teaching them about service. And if the church is about anything, it is about service, is it not? There's a passage in Luke chapter 10, verse number 40, where Jesus has come to Bethany and he is in Mary and Martha's home. I've heard it referenced many times, oftentimes to say that Mary had the better part, which means that I don't need to clean up the house and I just need to sit around and listen to people talk. That's not what's being said here. In fact, if you look at verse number 40, you'll find this word or this phrase in the King James, cumbered about. Have you ever thought about what that really means? Look at the definition here. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. It means she was distracted. It means she was overly occupied with the serving. It means she was too busy in the serving to pay attention to the words of the Master. Now let me just make it practical here. When we're having something back here and there's some cooking and some teaching going on, we get the cooking done, and when the teaching starts, then the cooks come and listen to the teaching. Now, by the way, just a side note here, in case you haven't thought of this, somebody's got to clean up that mess too. Alright? Not saying that men can't be involved in that, but I am saying that somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to clean it up. And there are responsibilities. We can be overly occupied in anything and not take care of something that is right in front of us. And so we need to teach our young ladies. By the way, ladies, I want you to think about this. We live in a society that does not like hospitality. And there are many reasons why. But I wonder if one of the reasons why your husband doesn't invite people over to your house is, and he's not given to hospitality, Romans 12 and 13, is because of how the house looks. I wonder if that's the case. Now, it shouldn't be the case. And if it is, then we ought to be given to hospitality regardless of those things. That is a command, by the way. And we ought to do it without grudging. That is, when somebody's invited over and there's so many complaints that are being made. By the way, I dealt with men last week. This is ladies' night, okay? This is ladies' night. So ladies, if you're always complaining after all the guests go home about all the noise, all the activity, all the work that you had to do, why would your husband want to have them over again? Now the Bible says do it without grudging. And grudging means complaining and murmuring in secret, you see. It means doing it behind closed doors. After everybody's left, I'm going to complain to my husband, we ain't doing this again. See, that's not a godly disposition. Now, number three. These are not in any particular order other than the fact that I thought maybe we ought to deal with the concept of cooking and cleaning. But we ought to teach them to be chaste. We ought to teach them to be holy and pure. In fact, the definition of chaste is simply to be pure from carnality, to be modest. Now, that revolves around what we're bringing into the home. If we're bringing in movies that depict unchaste behavior, how is it that we're going to teach our children, oh, well, you shouldn't do that, but we're all going to watch it on television? You see, we got to be careful about that invite. You know, We're not very hospitable at times, except for the television. We're very hospitality when it comes to, or hospitable when it comes to Hollywood, and maybe we should be less hospitable to that. But this is an important word for us to deal with. Our daughters should be taught at home how to be morally pure and chaste in their behavior. Let me give you just a couple examples. Oftentimes I see young girls are generally very good at manipulation at times. I grew up with a sister. Now, there were times that I deserved a lot of beatings that I got because of the way I treated my sister. But there were other times in which, if she wanted her way, she would go whining and crying into mom and dad and say, "Rick isn't being fair to me. He's not treating me very well." And I would have to do basically whatever she said. Y'all probably never experienced anything like that, right? That's called manipulation. And by the way, when a young boy, it doesn't matter, either one, when you're trying to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you tell them no and they throw a crying fit, that ain't good behavior. They're trying to manipulate the situation, and as a parent, you have to stop that manipulation. That's just sound Bible advice. But also, she should learn to handle her frustrations and anger in a biblical way, just like every one of us should. But young women, married or single, they should learn to be discreet and chaste, and that begins in the home. So, let's conclude this. Some obviously, if they heard this, and some maybe even here, think that these words by Paul or my explanation of them are pretty chauvinistic and outdated. They don't deserve any type of hearing in the 21st century. This prevents women from attaining their full potential. Have you ever thought about how selfish that statement is? It's as bold of selfishness as I've ever heard. Can you imagine a man talking about spending a couple doing this and doing that, that is going to damage the home and damage the family, and say to his wife, "You don't want me to reach my full potential? So what if I have to be gone over in Africa for 2 months or 10 years to be able to serve this family and bring in a lot of money? You know, so what if I don't have that companionship?" No, that he might fulfill his greatest potential in Africa, but he's not going to fulfill the greatest potential that God has in mind for him. And so even time and experience demands of us that this is sound doctrine. We have a crisis in the home today that we're just simply overlooking. Our families are falling apart. I don't know that, listen, you can go anywhere. You don't even have to be a biblical student to be able to understand that the family's falling apart. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody has a solution. And when the solution is offered, we're like, "Well, that's pretty archaic, don't you think?" But I suggest to you tonight, this is the most beneficial thing for women, and it's the most beneficial thing for the family and for the home. I wonder, though, whether or not our young women will heed to such sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. But I also wonder this, whether or not some of our older women are really wanting to teach and mentor such a doctrine as this, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. And I would suggest this to you as we close. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, certainly demonstrates that God's way is not man's way, but it is so much higher, so much holier, so much purer than man's ways. But you know what? It's not just about the family. It's also about our eternal salvation. God's way is always right. It's right in regards to male leadership. It's right in regards to male sacrificial leadership. It is right in regards to reverence. It is right in regards to the home, and it's right in regards to your eternal salvation. It's right about everything. And so I would ask you tonight, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not listen to what the Word of God has to say, because it is right. Do it His way. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all of your past sins. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be buried in the watery grave of baptism to arise and to walk in newness of life. Live faithfully at that point. And if you are unfaithful, The beauty of God's law is the fact that He offers pardon, even to a saint who has gone astray, through repentance and prayer and confession of sin. If there's any way that we can help you in your salvation, let us do that as together we stand and sing.